Let me just get hooked up over here so I don't knock my microphone off. When they were wiring me up, they said, just speak like you normally speak. And I looked at Gabe, I said, normally speak? He goes, yeah, like this. Then I thought of an octopus, but he was referring to me. So I passed the test, so I've got this on so you can hear and I can speak. And I'm going to move your papers over for you a little bit. I'm excited, because I know what's coming out for the teaching. And it's the person who prepares the teaching, they know what's happening. They know what they want to share. And all of what happened is happening today. For a long time I've wanted to teach on this. It's a peculiar situation, but that's okay, because I've been with a lot of peculiar situations that I produce on my own. But then I think, all God says is that my word never comes back void. God says my word never comes back void. So if his word never comes back void, all we have to do is just speak it, even if I said amen, or God loves you. God is responsible for the result, not me. So it's not me, it's him. He's the one who makes the things available, because he says my word never comes back void. So, oh, the title of my teaching, by the way, that you see that not many, it's kind of like many, any, something's wrong with it. Yes, but hang on, you'll see what. So not many are called, but whosoever. Well, how does that all fit together? Well, trust me, we'll find out. Got my timer going. There. Okay. I'm going to take you back a little bit in history, and this is the peculiar thing that I found. And I told Susan that I thought of her when I was looking at this particular verse. This is a lady in England back in the 1800s. So if you will, think of it in the sense of princes and princesses and nobility and landed gentry and kings and queens and ladies and lords. And during the 1800s in England, there was a giant sweep across the country of evangelism, of Christianity, of revival. And Lady Huntington got caught up in it. Now, if you are part of the upper class, the aristocracy, you know of the common folk and the factory folk, but you don't associate per se with them. You're separate, you're out, you're from there. But Lady Huntington felt differently. And she was a Christian. And she was well known by the royalty. I mean, kings and queens knew of her and knew her. And they associated with each other. Lady Huntington was a Christian. She was well known to the royalty. And during the time of the Great Revival, there she was, being a Christian. She was once asked, and this is where you fill it in. I don't know where it happened, but she was once asked how she, one of the country's wealthiest noble ladies, had been converted to Christianity. And under the layer, basically what the other aristocrats are saying is, you've got everything. Why would you need him? Because they would buy their things. Many times in the churches, they would buy a pew. Some of the royalty actually bought churches. And then the teachings would have to kind of line up with them in their pocketbook. Lady Huntington, a peculiar individual. Stick with the script, Dan. Stick with the script. Okay. So she was asked. Now, picture a party of some repute. Kings and queens, and all, they're all sitting there. And they've all heard about this one Christian lady. Because most of the nobility, they did not describe themselves as Christian. Rich, wealthy, yes. Landowners, yes. Landed gentry, that's why they're called landed gentry. They owned a property and they rented it out. Okay, so there she is, and she's at a party. And you can tell people were dying to ask her this question. One person, I don't know whether it was male, female, but it had to be somebody in the aristocracy who dared to step forth and ask this question. And when that happened, picture all the glasses on the table, all the food, boom, everything stopped to hear her reply. And here was the question. She said, she was once asked, she said, well, how did you get converted to Christianity? And she replied, sir, by one letter. And the people were going, one letter? What is she talking about? She said, in God's word, by the very fact that she's saying in God's word, it means that she's reading God's word. Okay, so little telltale signs that you get. And by the way, I only found one paragraph about this lady, and from that one paragraph comes this teaching. Stand script. She said, how? Yes, she said, one letter. They said, well, what do you mean, one letter? She said in 1 Corinthians 1:26, if you want to pop that up on the screen, in 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bible open, if not, just listen, and that's fine. Okay, because the theme verse basically says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty," and here's the part for her, "and not many noble are called." Okay, so back to the question. How? She said by one letter. And 1 Corinthians, she mentions that. It says, "Not many noble are called. That M saved my soul. For if God had said not any, if God had said not any," oh, okay. "If God had said not any, not any," let me find my space here because I think this is beautiful. She said, it says, "Not many. That M saved my soul. For if God had said not any noble," now here's the part. Again, a noble English lady wouldn't even think of this, much less say this, much less say this in public. But this is the part that caught me. She said, "That M saved my soul. For if God had not said, if God had said not any noble, I must have therefore been damned." She dared to say that word in public. At the demise of all the other people, that's how much she loved God. That's how much she was willing to stand forth and say, "I'm reading the Word of God. If God had said any, and that M was gone, and there wasn't many, that means not any noble are called." And by the way, the word noble there refers to well-bred. That's what it means. Well, nobility, well-bred. She was well-bred. But she said that all of that would be of not afford. "I must have therefore been damned. So God blessed that little letter M before any to the salvation of my very soul." That's what started this whole teaching out, and I loved it for that sake alone. And just a quick verse for you, but again, I'm going to touch on a few things, three quick ones. 1 Timothy 6:10, you can listen for it. It says, yes, and we're familiar with it. "For the love of money is the root of all evil." We see that, we know that. Money's fine, money, give it, live it, earn it, have it, keep it, save it, give it to me, that's fine. Whatever, that money, yes. "But for the love of money is the root of all evil." Think of this. God, in His Word, doesn't say that murder is the root of all evil, or pride, or wrath, or greed, or envy, or covetousness, no, of all evil, or gluttony, or lust. But what does He say? The love of money is the root. Root is the lifeblood of evil. Well, okay, I don't tell you, it's right here. "The love of money is the root of all evil." All evil stems back from the love of money. And it doesn't say murder, it doesn't say gluttony, but it all breaks back to that. I love it in terms of what's there. So, if you will, take your Bibles, Luke, go to Luke chapter 18. So Luke chapter 18, okay, Mr. Luke chapter 18. Now, it's what we pick up, he's in three, person in Luke 18, he's in three different books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We know that he's a young ruler, we know that he's a rich, by the way, the one that we're dealing with is Luke 18, verse 18 to 25. So, and by the way, the question that he asked, well, we know that he's rich, we know that he's a ruler, we know that he's young, because each one of the books says that about him. So we come up to this guy who's young, rich, and a ruler, and he comes up to Jesus. And in one book it says he knelt down. Okay, let's see how sincere he is and where his heart's at on this. But here's the question. Now think about this. I've read this many, many times, and I never caught this. All from that peculiar verse of not many as opposed to not any. Because we don't want not any. We want to be in there. He said, and a certain ruler asked Jesus. He said, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I've heard people ask about how do I get to heaven? What do I have to do? What do I have to know? But to have somebody say, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Different way of asking the question. And that's for another time, but it caught my attention. And Jesus says to the guy, him, he says, hey, why do you call me good? None's good save one, that's God. And Jesus goes to say, boom, 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 here's what needs to be done. Thou knowest the commandments. Jesus knew that he knew the commandments. being the Son of God. So he rips off them, boom, commit adultery, boom, steal, false witness, honor of parents. And the guy says, yep, all these things, hey, I've kept up from my youth. Sort of like Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. He went through the whole thing, and here's my credentials. I'm all set. I've got gold stars. I got a few gold stars in school, but not a whole bunch. For talking, I got a lot of gold stars. But there he is. I've done all this. Now he's waiting to get the ring on the merry-go-round. The last thing, Jesus, he's asking him, what do I have to do to get eternal life, inherit it, buy it, whatever? And Jesus says, okay. He said, yep, all these things are done. Now, when Jesus heard these things, not before Jesus heard them, after he heard them, he said unto the guy, him, yet lackest thou. Now, again, we don't have a lot of time. Jesus Christ is talking about lack. This guy's got money built up all over the place. And what does Jesus Christ say? Hey, you lack one thing. It's like he looked over the whole thing, and this one thing's missing. Pray tell, what is that? Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast. Picture yourself being this guy. Rich, wealthy. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Can you imagine being there with that guy? Well, why do I say that? Because of his response. Listen. And when he, the man, heard this, he was very sorrowful. Well, wait, he's rich. So why would he be sorrowful? He was very rich. He was very sorrowful for he was very rich. Meaning he didn't want to give up his wealth. His wealth owned him more than he owned the wealth. And all we know of this guy is what's recorded in these three books. And I don't get the impression that he got himself to heaven on the basis of being very rich and not wanting to listen what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, said to him. If you really want eternal life, inherit or otherwise, bing, here's what you have to do to get the gold ring on the merry-go-round. I don't think he ever got it. We won't know until the gathering together. Okay, very sorrowful. And then Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. Obviously, you can tell it on his face. And he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. God is the one who says, not many, not many, not many. Think about it. God says not many noble. God says not many mighty. God is telling people that there's not going to be a whole bunch. Why do I know that? Because God says not many. Okay, stay focused. Lady Huntington, she saw what was there in the Word of God, any and many, and she realized she was part of the many. If there weren't any, she wouldn't be there. She realized her whole life and all of eternity based on her aspect of not many, but she's one who did believe it because she read the Word of God and she realized what she had to do and she did it and she is. That's great for her and for him. He made his decision. All decisions have consequences. Even if we make no decision, I'm making no decision. Well, guess what, person? That's a decision. That has consequences. All right. God's the one who says not many. All right. Hang on. Oh. This is like the prize in the bottom of a Jack in the Box. Cracker Jacks, yeah. What did I say? Jack in the Box. Okay, yeah, good. Proverbs, again, just listen or read Proverbs 11 shouts this out with absolute assurity. There's no ifs, there's no ends, there's no buts. Proverbs 11, 28. What am I talking about? Here it is in bold and absolute reality. Okay, Proverbs 11, 28. Can you imagine being Lady Huntington when you read that and go, any, many? I'm not in, I am in, I'm not. I'm in. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the feeling? Because all of her friends would, you're one of them. I mean, they would ostracize her. But she didn't care. Because she even said, damned. Nobody in nobility would even think of it out in public, much less. Okay. Here it is in bold, absolute reality. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Proverbs 11, 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. God's telling us in his word that if you trust in your riches, you're going to fall, period. It's not maybe you'll fall, or possibly you might fall, or even conceivably you could fall. No. It will happen. Why? Because God says it will happen. Again, not many. Even if, Let's pretend we looked at this group here and said, hey, not many are called. You'd look in that group and realize, no matter how big, 10,000, 5,000, 400, 3, 10, not many. God's telling us not many. He knows. We don't. He knows. He knows the heart. He knew it before eternity was given, before creation was given. There it is. So no, it will happen. Why? Because God says it. Proverbs 23. Just skip over a little bit. Verse 5, Proverbs 23. I like this one. Bob over here, I was thinking of you in this regard, not you, not in terms of what's happening, but I love the verse. It says, for riches, Proverbs 23, verse 5, for riches certainly make themselves wings. Riches make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Picture, I love this because I'm thinking of diamonds flying away, rubies flying away, classic cars, 66 convertible for me, maybe for Bob, one of his boats, flying away. Can you imagine one of those neat, beautiful boats that Bob has just flying up there with wings on it? That's what I thought of for your boat. So, but because it says, for riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Loved it. We must never trust money. Listen to this. We must never trust money to yield what only our God alone can provide. Our unfailing God will never falter, but putting trust in our money alone will fail. Because God said it. He doesn't say, maybe you'll fail. You will fail. Period. Paul. God says, you can argue with God, do an arm wrestle, and see who's going to win? Never trust money to yield what only our God alone can provide. Money can buy a bed. Thank you. But it cannot buy a peaceful night's sleep. Money can buy books, but it cannot buy wisdom. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy a crucifix, but it cannot buy salvation. Health, sleep, wisdom, salvation, these are all A-L, capital letters, these are all gifts from God. You cannot buy, you cannot inherit salvation. Get it? And it's not something, hey, God, oh, look, help me out. Look what I did for you. No, it's what he did for us. It's a gift, a gift, a gift, a gift. But are we going to receive the gift, accept the gift, or kick it around and say, oh, forget you? Not many are called. But it's not any, it's many. And you're part of the many that are if you believe. Okay, health, sleep, wisdom, all gifts of God. A man can have everything and yet have nothing. And another man can have nothing and yet have everything. Listen again. A man can have everything and yet have nothing. Another man can have nothing and yet have everything. Real quick. Billy Graham is visiting this rich guy. And he goes, and the guy said, hey, here's my car, here's my airplane, here's my helicopter, here's my yacht, here's my boat, here's my limo, here's my 12-car garage, which he did, by the way, this is all happening. And Billy Graham's going, oh, yeah, I see it. And the guy opens up the curtains, boom, showing that. Open up the heliport, airport. He had his own airport. And all of this is there. And the guy tells Billy Graham, well, by the way, I was talking to some teenagers the other day, they don't even know Billy Graham. I mean, you really... Like, tick, 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 passage of time. Billy Graham. Billy who? College students. Who? Billy Graham. And he was there with this guy. And the guy said, you know what? I'm kind of not very happy. So Billy Graham talks with the guy, leaves the limo, takes him back to his hotel. On the way back to his hotel, Billy Graham, there's a monk. And they pick up the monk and they go driving down to the hotel. And he's talking to the monk. The monk says, well, I've got a little bit of money here and there, but I'm happy. I'm fine. And Billy Graham said that he realized it was not in what you possess, but in who possesses you. And then we're not talking about evil possession, meaning who's got your heart. And the monk had his heart in the right place. Billy Graham saw that. The guy who owned all of that stuff, including the limo the guy was riding in, he did not know that. He did not have that for his own heart. But the monk did. And Billy Graham shared it. I saw it. Now you have it. Isn't that fantastic? A man can have everything and yet have nothing. Another man can have nothing and yet have everything. How can that be? Because a person's net worth is not to be measured in terms of property or possessions. John D. Rockefeller, the richest man in this country ever, even more than Elon Musk, billions. We're not even talking about millions, we're talking about billions. By the way, if you took millions, $1 million in one bill, 1,000 bills, all with a million, equals 1 billion. Okay, get the mental picture, 1 billion. Each of them, Elon Musk, John Rockefeller, each of them was worth multi-billions. Like, hey, if you want to let one of them fall down, really? Is it mine? Like the little off script. The little boy goes to church. Mommy gives him a dollar and a dollar. $1 for God, $1 for an ice cream cone. The boy's going across the street. He's all happy. He's singing about his ice cream cone. The wind comes along. Oop. It took one of the dollar bills. And the little boy said, God, I'm sorry, but your dollar bill just flew away. Oh, I'm off script on that, but doggone it, isn't that beautiful? Right away, oh, wait, God, that was yours. Mine, I've still got, and I'm going to enjoy my chocolate chip ice cream cone. Okay, I'm off script. All right, back. Okay. Yeah, come on. I get excited about this. I mean, even if I didn't, it's real. I mean, come on, but look at this. Wow. Okay. Oh, Luke. This is the guy where God himself calls the guy by name. I love it. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Okay. And he spoke, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing through here. Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, hey, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. There was a whole bunch of crops. We don't know about his heart yet. It doesn't tell us about a heart, but we do know that he has a lot of crops. And he thought within himself, saying, hey, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, well, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And by the way, God calls the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. It says here he was plentiful, but we don't know about his heart yet. Let's see if we find out real quick. Okay, and I will say to my soul, hey, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, not giving, selling, doing, years for him. How do I know for him? Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be married. Merry. But God said to him, he called him by name. You want to know his name? Fool. God said to him, fool. Now, picture, Jesus Christ is the one teaching the parable. And he's telling them that God, his Father, calls this guy a fool. Mr. Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? All of your inheritance and all of what you have, sir, is going to go to somebody else. Who told him that? God told him that. How do you know God told him that? Because Jesus told God. I heard what Jesus said because I read the Word of God, and God wrote the Word. He's the author of the Word. That's why I know that. That's why you know that. Not because I said it, but because the Word of God says it. Isn't that cool? That's on script or off script. Doesn't matter. Because God's God. Okay. Last part of it. Okay. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Can you imagine him laying in bed having a bowl of popcorn and saying, oh, here's what I'll do. I'm going to build bigger. And then all of a sudden God speaks to him and says, hey, you fool. Oh, this night you're going to die. I don't know about you, but I'd be choking on that popcorn. I'd be praying on the floor pretty quickly. Okay. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus Christ said that, not rich toward God. God sees the heart of man. Not many. Okay. Ooh. Go back. I'm going to read this twice because when I read this, stay with myself here. He who provides for this life, just let this hit your heart, sink in slowly. He who provides for this life but takes no thought for eternity, he who provides for this life, but takes no thought for eternity, is wise for a moment, but is a fool forever. Listen again, one more time. He who provides for this life, but takes no thought for eternity, is wise for a moment, but is a fool forever. One pastor said it this way. Talk about sending chills up your back. Listen to what this pastor said, and I loved it because it hit my heart. This pastor, he said, you know what? He said, I haven't met many people possessed by a demon. I haven't met a lot, but I have met many people who are possessed by their possession. Whoa. Pretty heavy. Matthew. You don't have to turn. It's just real. Matthew 16:26 says, "But for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Think about that. Jesus Christ was offered the whole world by Satan himself. Satan had it to give him, which is a whole other teaching for some other time. But Satan offered it to him. Hey, if you worship me, you will have the whole world. And Jesus said no. But even if he, look, if you did have the whole world, what are you going to do? You can't take it with you. Yeah, it's all yours, but then it's not going to fit. Only you, if you were going up. If you were going up. You know what? Again, I'm teaching for another time. We can either be in the house of heaven or in the halls of hell. Because we're going to be somewhere in eternity, all of us, whether we believe in it or not. Because of what God says. Okay. This next one is what got Rebecca involved, because I read to her what I was going to teach. And she's the one who, by the way, said, whosoever. Because, whosoever. Because not many. And she said, well, that's not very hopeful. I go, well, Rebecca, but that's what the word says. So Rebecca's over there, yeah, but it's not very hopeful. And Rebecca said, when she says, but, like, Daniel, I love you, but there's going to be something behind it. So she liked it, but she said, okay. So I put in, for God's so loved, by the way, he's so loved, not just partially loved, he's so loved. He doesn't say God loved. So loved, meaning above and beyond popcorn bursting out all over the place. I love it. Because that's God. So, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's wish, desire. He knows who's part of that any, or part of that none, or part of that many. God knows it, but we don't know it. That's the key. Listen to this, which wraps this up. The story is told. It's a story. It's not true. It did not happen. But interesting. The story is told of a tax assessor in the old days who visited the home of a poor Christian laborer to assess his tax bill. So far, so good. The Christian told the man, this is the part that I said, ouch. The Christian told the man that he was very wealthy. I don't know about you, but the tax collector is coming there. I mean, yes, I might have this or may not have this, but I don't know that I want to tell. Hey, I'm very wealthy. Look, I don't know, somehow just like the guy in the Bible said, hey, look at all the treasures I have, which was very wrong. God didn't want him to do that, but he did that, and he paid a price for that. But that's off script. On script. The story is told of a tax assessor in the old days who visited the home of a poor Christian laborer. Got it. Thank you. Now, to assess the tax bill. The Christian told him this part. The Christian told the man that he was very wealthy, and he said, first, I have life everlasting. Second, I have an inheritance in heaven that does not fade. Does not fade. Does not. It can't. Even tide, bleach, whatever you put, it's not going to fade. You can't bring it back. One size fits all. That's not part of the story. I'm saying that. Thank you, God, for whoever's in that ambulance, for the best working out. Amen. The Christian told the man that he was very wealthy and said, first, I have life everlasting. Second, I have an inheritance in heaven that does not fail. Third, I have a peace that passes all understanding. That could be a teaching all in itself. Peace that passes. When you pass the car, you pass the car. The other car is behind you. Passes all what? Understanding. Who's understanding? Your understanding. My understanding. That's pretty pretty powerful. Christian told me, third, I have a peace that passes all understanding. Fourth, I have a loving wife who is worth more than rubies, all the rubies in the world. Fifth, I have children that seek to honor me all the days of my life. Sixth, I have a God who supplies all my needs out of the riches of his glory. The auditor closed his book and said, truly you are a rich man, and your wealth is not subject to taxation. Friends, if you want to know how wealthy you are, add up all that you have that money cannot, no, we've heard this, that money cannot buy. Stay with me on this. Yes, okay, let me read that again. Friends, if you want to know how wealthy you are, then add up all you have that money cannot buy. And death cannot steal. Oh, Can you see why I was so excited to bring what I brought today? Not, I mean, boom, God set it out there. It's like, wow. But all we have to do is just say it. And God says, my word never comes back void. So, Lady Huntington, you're not damned. You're saved. Your soul's been paid for with a price, just like that song, I am not my own. And we're on loan. Think about it. We're on loan on this earth for the time that, if I die right now, last moment was he said, hey, we're on loan for eternity's forever, beyond the measure of time. And who invented time? There was a time when there was no time. Get it? I mean, think about that. Tick, 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 tick. There was time when there was no tick, 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 tick. Okay, whosoever. Now we got the whosoever in there. Now we've got the not many, not any, but many. And so now, so that you'll have something, now stay with me, because it's a gift. And a gift has to be able to be given and then received. So, you're getting a gift. What are you getting? If you decide to accept it. Okay. So here, everybody's going to get a heart and a letter. The letter's M. Not many, get it? Many, not many, any. So the heart's an M for Lady Huntington. For M, not many. So you get the heart. And then this heart is from God. The one that's inside the heart, that heart's from God. For her, that one letter made all the difference in the world. This heart, the littler heart, is your heart back to God. And by the way, the teaching that I just did is all in this little thing. So there'll be everybody, and just to make sure, because I don't want people saying, give me, give me, give me. Just to make sure, there's enough for everybody. Now, no, wait, don't clap yet. Hold on. Are you clapping because I made enough? Okay, now, stay with me. Are you ready to come out? Okay. I'm a visual guy. I'm also an auditory guy. I'm also a talkative guy. So, see, I wondered who'd laugh. Now, I don't know if you heard that, but there's Miss Jeannie, the Reverend's wife, laugh. M and M's. M and M's. M and M's. Now, why would I want to give you an M&M? One letter saved my soul. I love it. So I figured this, you can savor while you're looking at what you have, and you don't have to all get the... There's enough for everybody in here, okay? So I say all that because that's... I was so enthralled by Lady Huntington and by what she did and what she said. I wanted to share that. I've been waiting for a long time to share that. And, I'm 1 minute over my time limit. Thank you, but I did it. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your loss. Father, and just thank you for your sense of humor, fool otherwise, and yet whosoever, because that's what you want. You want us all. Just like the song, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and surely we have, and you paid a heavy price, Father. Because you so loved us. Thank you for being patient with us and for picking somebody like me personally, seriously. Thank you, God. I never would have picked me. Thank you that you did, Father. And just thank you for the heart of who you are and that for all of eternity, whatever's coming, the house of God is there and will be in there because you promised us that. And that's for whosoever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and thank you. Amen.